You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this, a Tuesday in the tri-state. I am your trusty host, Peter Rosenberg. And before I can even say hello to my... Actually, I'll do it quickly. Hello, Michael.
If they trade DeAndre Watson...
Wow. Hello, Don.
I started 3.
And we start with breaking news on ENN tonight. That's right.
Wow.
You didn't think it was possible. Out of the hellfire and brimstone that currently is the Barclays Center, we have Steve Nash talking about Kyrie Irving and the alleged video of him hanging out with his family at a birthday party at a club. Let's hear from the Nets coach, Steve Nash.
I didn't see it, but I think that Sean made a statement. And, you know, from my position, I'm going to leave it at Sean and the organization's statement and really focus on the game tonight. You know, we got a great challenge tonight, and I think that's going to need all of my focus and our team's focus.
Nothing.
He did make a comment. He was asked, Peter, do you think he's going to play this year? And he said, sure, but I would make a prediction about anything that goes on outside this building.
Which is a stark contrast from saying, of course he's going to play.
Right.
Yeah, he's a part of this team. He's an important part of this
team. I believe just from the vibe I'm getting and people texting me, the Nets are red hot. But they're in no man's land. There's nothing they can do.
And you come across as very disingenuous when you tell us you didn't see the video. Come on. How do you not see the video? I could barely care when I saw the video. I mean, I'm being honest. Like, it's your player. It's under investigation by the NBA. You're the head coach of the team. You know you're going to get asked about it, and you say, I didn't see it? Come on. Either he's lying or he's completely incompetent. There's no way you didn't see it. You had to see it. Wouldn't you want to see it? I want to know. I'm not saying you have to have an opinion on it or that you're going to comment on it, but how do you not see it?
Well, the video we're talking about.
The Nets have had forensic analysts looking at it.
Right. Well, the video we're talking about is a video the NBA is also expected to review. It's circulating on social media, and it has a maskless Kyrie Irving at what appears to be some sort of family birthday party function. And now it has put in question when he can come back. So he will be gone tonight. He will be gone tomorrow against the Knicks. And, guys, if in fact they decide that that was this week and that he was out being social and maskless, that means the COVID protocol that Kevin Durant just went through, now Kyrie Irving has to go through it. And so he would be out through at least this weekend into next week.
And then he loses money, for sure. Because the NBA docks them.
Then they start docking if you have a COVID violation. You lose 1/72nd of your salary for the games you miss.
Guys, remind me of the format now, because it's not just the top 8 teams in each conference, right? They're going to extend it out kind of like they did last year, right?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Peter, do you remember?
Yeah, I think it's the 7-10 teams.
Right. They're going to extend an opportunity for some of the teams on the outside looking. Well, right now, again, it's laughably early. We're 11 games in, right?
But we're 1/7 of the way through.
They're right now the 11 seed, right? So they'd be out even under the new format. Now, I think that will change. Even without Kyrie, they're going to win their share of games. But the fact that we are now this deep into the season and they're under 500 and out of the playoffs, and now it looks like he may go at least another week without playing. Yeah, you are going to damage your seeding. You know, do you want to have to play Milwaukee in the first round?
there's a part of me, I don't have much empathy for the Nets. It's like the young woman who's dating the really, really handsome guy, and she knows he's an absolute lunatic. Just crazy. Then they start to date because he's so good looking, and then he acts like an absolute lunatic. You can't be surprised. You signed up for it because he was so good looking. Kyrie is such a great player, but they knew what they were getting.
So what you're saying is,
and they decided,
like,
you know what? The juice is worth the squeeze. Right now, I think they're wondering if it is.
It's like Sherry in the Dave Rothenberg marriage. At
yes.
what point do you say she's enabling him?
And
when
the
you
Nets,
stayed with him.
The Nets would probably argue with me and go, we don't get Kyrie, we don't get KD. But KD, without Spencer Dinwiddie and without Kyrie, they're not winning a championship. And they gave away D'Angelo Russell, who actually made an all-star team and was turning the corner as a really fine player because they wanted to clear the cap room for two max contracts. Yeah. And they did. But it, as I said when they made this, unless they win a championship in those 4 years, not worth it. They're not
even
relevant
then,
in New York at this point.
How much will it enable him? Let's say they do win a championship, and then it just becomes like even worse where you don't get a chance to repeat because...
Yeah, if they win a championship, all bets are off. It was worth it.
Well.
Worth it.
But we'll see. You know, maybe they make the playoffs, and they drop the first two games of a series, and then instead of having a chance to fight back, I'm out of here. I'm not going to bother playing.
Well, the NBA has also tightened their coronavirus protocols, which
very tight.
Yeah, now it's airtight, to try to preserve this season, which is in some danger. I mean, the Celtics-Bulls game is postponed tonight. Rosters are getting thin. Postponements are picking up. And so they made a pretty big change that most franchises had already wanted. The closing off of rooms to non-team guests in road hotels.
Why'd you say hotels that way?
Well, because what really?
So, other words, these players can't get laid on the road.
Woj wrote, you got to hear this quote. One GM told ESPN, quote, not having somebody in the room, quote, was the Mack truck driving through all our protocols.
I just can't believe that like had to be. Like put it like I would think that'd be obvious that has to be the program. Sorry,
Don. They like to have sex.
So does everybody.
But they really like it,
apparently.
To the point,
and they have a lot more opportunities than most
people. I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. You know what I mean, Peter? Like, I understand how important that is, especially to a young person.
Even
but this is what you do for a living. You could derail the entire league.
Now they're not allowed to leave hotels for non-team activities. I'm surprised that was part of it. But the players, you know what? I think the players are like a lot of the country. They just got tired of COVID.
Yep.
They got tired of the restrictions.
Oh, there's
They said, we already did this.
We already did this. We did a bubble. Now we want to be NBA players again. Well, they're not going to get through the season if they have freedom.
And the other problem, too, it's not like players didn't contract the virus. Right? And to our knowledge, none of them really, I guess, were near death. So they probably figure, all right, so if I get it, all right, then I'll be sick for a week and I won't be able to play, but I'll be fine. So it's hard to probably scare them off, right?
I've got some breaking news along these lines.
Actually?
NBA players are petitioning the NBA to have an expansion franchise in Tuscaloosa after what they saw last night. They said, well, that's
really?
Where we want to play. Where people are pressed up against each other in the streets without masks. This is where we think an NBA franchise should be located.
That's big.
And I saw that. It was disturbing, obviously.
In a word.
But then people like describing to what happened in Notre Dame, remember when they stormed the field, which was also ridiculous. But at least those are crazy people that were in the building. That looked like the entire population of the city.
And then there's a story out of L.A., that the great Bruce Willis, the star of the Christmas movie Die Hard, would not put on a mask in a pharmacy and was thrown out.
By the way, he's a real piece of work, too, because I saw the picture.
The bandana's
under his chin. He can just pull it up.
I think that was a dickie.
Well, he was definitely
being one.
He was definitely being a dickie. It was a dicky move.
And the Tommy John stuff was disturbing last week.
You think?
What was that?
He's in a hospital, Tommy John, the former pitcher, and, you know, surgery name, receiving oxygen because he has COVID-19. And he gave an interview. He doesn't believe in COVID-19. He thinks it's all a hoax. And his son, yes, who's a chiropractor, said it's a government hoax. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, his son's off the rails.
I'm going to do – I've grown up a lot, guys, and I'm going to reserve comment on this because I swear to you the only thing I could say would get me fired. So I'm going to just lay out.
Bang, you know what? I'm going to say something that's going to be very, very – it will be met with much criticism, and I might get in trouble. Listen, you have every right to deny, and if you don't think that something is real, that's cool. That's cool, okay? I can't force you to believe things. That's not what this country's about. You believe what you want. But if you are a COVID denier and then you get sick, sorry, the hospital is closed to you.
Well, apparently you would say exactly how I felt.
The hospital's closed to you. I mean, you're going to take up a bed of somebody that was trying to avoid it. You didn't try to avoid it. You thought it was nothing. And then all of a sudden you can't breathe and you want to go to a hospital. Sorry.
But you didn't believe in this.
You
have to respect the consistency for Tommy John. He's still fighting it.
While he has oxygen.
Even while he's on oxygen and going, nope, not real.
That made him win 287 games.
I saw the number of dead is on its way over 350,000. And I can't wait. It's going to be so great when they reach out to all the families of the deceased and tell them that it's not real. And when everyone comes back. Can you imagine?
No. You can't not allow somebody to go into the hospital because they're a truther. You do realize
that if somebody
they don't have insurance, no problem.
Hospital's overrun, then they do triage like they do at wartime, and they choose people who are going to live and die. That's my point.
So if you didn't believe in it,
and you didn't put mask on, and you didn't have any kind of situation where you didn't think it existed, and then all of a sudden you get sick and you realize it existed, you're right. Doctors can't ever turn back patients, but they will if there's no room in the hospital. Anyway, let's go back to sports. We don't need to get in trouble.
Let's move on. Let's hear from Nick Saban and the empire that he has built at Alabama.
Well, I you've heard me say before, I hate to lose, and I don't care how much you win, you still hate to lose. Yeah. And you can talk about the seven that we won, but the two that haunt me are the two that we lost. And don't ask me why it's that way. I have a lot of pride in performance and want to try to do the best I possibly can as a coach to have the best program that creates value for the players. I'm talking about value in terms of personal development, academics, and graduating and developing careers off the field, career development, and the football players. I mean,
sure.
And I think that's one thing that people overlook about the program is we really do try to create value for players, and I think that's why we get a lot of good players.
You know what? It's hard to debate what Saban said because I've spoken to a lot of people that are coaches and managers, and they go, the joy of victory is so far below the agony of defeat.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason they like winning is because they don't have to feel the way they feel with losing. So there's not that much joy in winning. It's just that you don't feel that visceral agony from losing.
The quote is that losing hurts more than winning feels good.
Right.
And I do think that's sad, even though it might be factual, that's sad. That can you really be happy?
It's like gambling. The gambling loss hurts way more than the gambling win. You guys don't feel that with the picks? That, like, the second you realize a pick is going your way and you're definitively getting that game right, the high of that doesn't last nearly as long as when you can tell you're going to lose a game in our picks. I feel that every week. I don't relish the wins the same way. Unless I go three for three, then I'm jury.
The competitive juice is flowing. My biggest problem with it is you don't want to have to hear it on Monday when all the hanging on the rim goes on.
I know. You know how bad, when I took the lead, Don, you know how bad I wish we were on the air so I could have come on and hit Michael with Simply.
You made it work for you.
No, I did. But I wanted to hit Simply the Best every time Michael talked for a full minute.
Simply the Best. But, you know,
I really.
But you know what I would hit? We all go through it in life in some way. Forget like the picks, like any successes that we have as a show or in our career. It's not
the
like
I
go there and when
the
I got the
defeat.
When we finished number one, or when I got the Rangers gig, or anything like the birth of my children, and sit there like 5 minutes after I celebrate this great moment, go, God, but you know what really bothers me? You know, all the times that I didn't have the kids, you know, all the times we didn't finish number one, you know, the other jobs I didn't get. No, I relished the success of that. I didn't think about the losses. I think it's sad that you sit there and you win seven national championships. What really bothers you at the end of the day, what really makes you not get this bed is the two.
Yeah. Well,
you didn't know. And I you don't think there's sadness in that?
Oh, for sure. I'll tell you who slept well last night. Devontae Smith, the offensive MVP. He got the Heisman Trophy last Tuesday. He had to leave in the third quarter with a dislocated finger in his right hand. But before that, he caught 12 passes, 215 yards, second most ever in a college football playoff or BCS championship game. Three receiving touchdowns, tying the record for those games. A record set by Steve Smith at USC in 2005. Very, very impressive performance. And listen, all of a sudden, for at least a night, everyone was talking about Devontae Smith more than they were talking about Trevor Lawrence, just for one night at least.
But come on. You know, if that's when you realized it, then you haven't watched a lot of college football. This kid was great all year. He's had some phenomenal games. I know that that's the grand stage, and I'm not going to kill anybody for that being the only college football game you watch. But, you know, there's you know people that I really respect in the business. Like, that's where you noticed?
That's why I keep my – that's why all I do on nights like that is lay out unless I'm saying something about the specifics of that game. Because if last week – Monday, before the Heisman Trophy presentation, Devontae Smith delivered me a delicious Domino's thin crust with pepperoni and pineapple. I would be thrilled. You know why? Because I love Domino's thin crust pepperoni and pineapple. After that, I'd say, what's your name, Devontae? Here's your tip. Thank you.
Why would you like thin crust pizza?
I'm not the biggest college football fan in the world, but like I mentioned, I watched a lot more college football this year with no hockey being on, because I do love football. I'm not a college football fan, but it's football, right, Peter? So that
football adjacent.
You've been watching it for 40 years.
It attracts 40. Me because it's football, and I do enjoy football. All right,
and that's how it gets me too. That's how I end up clicking on it, but then I end up feeling like it feels wrong. It feels cheap when I watch it. It is. It's like
dirty.
It's dirty college football. It doesn't feel that pure hit to the veins that I get when I'm watching NFL. The second I watch college, it's like, this isn't the good stuff. What happened to my regular drug dealers? He out of town? Who gave me this?
That's pretty deep and revealing. But if you formulated your opinion on where he should be selected just on last night,
well, then you should lay out.
Qualified?
No, you should lay out.
The guy didn't win the Heisman Trophy. It didn't sneak up on people,
right?
Because Justin Fields is the perfect example, right? You know that awful loss, and then it's like, well, I don't see it, and then he wins against Clemson, like. The Jets are in great spot. They could take them. Everybody's going to want them. Then he has a pedestrian game. I don't know. I don't know if he. You can't go that back and forth on three games, and they already made the decision on who they're picking before the three games are even played.
Well, let's talk Texans for a second, shall we?
Houston.
That's right, Houston. One of the Texans' all-time greats, a Texan legend, Andre Johnson, tweeted out his thoughts on the Deshaun Watson situation, or you may call him Deshaun Watson. Michael Kay, of course, refers to him as.
If they trade DeAndre Watson, Anthony, really shaky ground.
He said, quote, the Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers. Since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic. DeAndre Hopkins weighed in and said, when Dre speak, listen. Of course, DeAndre, fortunate to get out and got to have a very productive season on a Arizona Cardinals team.
All you can get up from all of it, right? As bad as it is. The one guy's opinion that might actually cripple them dead would be if it was like liked by J.J. Watt.
Oh, you know what you could do then, Don? Sniff him.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
That would cripple them. You couldn't get up from that.
By the way,
this
Thursday.
Happened.
Bye, buddy. Have a great life.
Then you might as well trade him because your reputation is completely like destroyed. Nobody's going to want to play for you.
Well, guys,
I'm shocked that you would cast aspersions on people's looks when you're hideous in your own right.
I don't know what to do here because it's 6:24, but I have so many more great stories.
Oh, you know what? Let's make it a two-parter.
That's right.
Okay.
Somebody on Twitter just said something funny. Who was the tough guy that worked at Rite Aid in L.A. that threw Bruce Willis out?
Yeah, by the way, it's a great point.
I mean, that guy's got some stones, or gal. Bruce, out.
Oh, by the way, huge diehard fan. I love Moonlighting. You got to go. You got to go, you maskless freak. Get the hell out of here.
Is it possible, depending on the age of the person, that they didn't even recognize?
They don't even know who he is. They just think he's an old ball guy.
My brother has a word for people who refused masks.
Is it something that we could have on the show and have a show tomorrow?
Yeah. We were talking once, and he was like, I'm at 7-Eleven. There's a bear face in here. Yeah, there's a bear face right over there.
You told him, get out now.
I know. It's like, leave. Get out. Hurry.
All right. So second stanza of the ENN magnum opus.
I call this one the Georgia.
What?
I don't get it.
The Georgia stanza.
Forget it. Oh, God, we're going to recover. We'll towel off, even shower off after that right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. But if God got us, then
we gon' be alright. Alright, part two. ENN. People love it. People just, they clamor for it. Now they get a second part.
They needed it. They needed more, and that's exactly what we have. Let's hear from Sal Pal, who was on with our pal, Greeny, earlier, talking about the Eagles' search for a head coach in the post-Doug Peterson era.
I know they are interested in Lincoln Riley. There's a report out there that they have already contacted Lincoln Riley or agents for him. I know they have contacted Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he is expected to interview with the Eagles after the divisional round game in New Orleans. Bowles has already interviewed with Atlanta and will interview with the Lions. And they've got to have some interest in Mike Kafka in Kansas City. And it comes down to what that coach wants at quarterback. I mean, listen, let's be real here. You have to be able to marry the two, right? It's owner, coach, quarterback. That's the way it works. That's the way it worked in New England for all those successful years. That's the way it's working in Tampa. That's the way it's worked in New Orleans. That's the way it's working in Green Bay and Kansas City.
Boy, Lincoln Riley's going to cost him a lot of money. He's the flavor of the month.
I'm good.
You're all right with Ron Rivera.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, yeah. I'm good. But, I mean, I'm good on these flavor of the month coaching.
Everybody wants to find their Sean McVay. And Washington had him under their nose.
Well, that bothers me, of course. But I'm so not into college football that college coaches coming on board never excite me. There's exactly one that I love and think worked out perfectly, and he wasn't originally a college guy, and that's Pete Carroll. What'd you say?
Steve Spurrier.
That's Steve Spurrier, the ball coach.
But Pete Carroll had a lot of NFL experience.
Right. He doesn't even really count. He was really more a failed NFL coach who went to college and came back.
That's why it's amazing that Jacksonville is going to give Urban Meyer $12 million a year.
I don't get it. That I guarantee that doesn't work.
I'm not
guarantee.
Saying it can't work. It's just that you're adding another level of like mystery, right? Like it's already difficult to figure if an assistant can make the jump or somebody from an organization can join yours. Now you're asking that same coach to just a different league, a different level.
I mean, do owners realize, too, Don, forget the level, what you can do to a player in college holding their scholarship in front of them? You can't do to an NFL player. Greg Schiano, it did not work out in the NFL. This guy's a great college coach. Look what he did with Rutgers this year. He didn't work out in the NFL. You can't be as heavy-handed in the NFL. You get run out of the job. Only way you get to be heavy-handed is if your hand has six rings on it.
Now, Nick Saban is obviously the flavor right now because of the championship.
But he's 69.
But, you know, in his 2 years as a head coach in the NFL, where, you know, he was 9-7, 6-10 in Miami. And that was it. Didn't have the same success. And that's somebody that was a defensive coordinator in Cleveland, so he knew the NFL. But here is one of the great college football coaches ever, and he's under 500 in 2 years as an NFL head coach.
Well, you're talking great coaches. I have to mention Bill Belichick, who decided to turn down an offer to go to the White House and accept a Presidential Medal of Freedom on Thursday. This comes after a lot of pressure in Boston, including a strong tweet from Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and articles in the Boston Globe about people's concern about Belichick deciding to make that move. Belichick ended up saying, quote, "Recently I was offered the opportunity to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which I was flattered by out of respect for what the honor represents and admiration for prior recipients. Subsequently, the tragic events of last week occurred, and the decision has been made not to move forward with the award."
You know how tough this – first of all, I don't think it's fair to say after pressure from people, he had not made his decision. So we have no idea if that pushed him one way or the other. The other thing is he happens to be very close friends with Donald Trump, very close.
Oh, we don't. But we don't know what that looks like right now.
Well, I don't know, but in the past he was a legitimate friend of his.
I could give you a long list of legitimate friends of Donald Trump who would no longer be described as good friends of Donald Trump.
Yeah, Gary Player didn't have a problem accepting the award a couple of days. I think the day of the riot. But what Belichick did, by the way, I thought was the right thing to do, and what President-elect Biden should do. He should give him that award sometime during his term.
I bet he will.
That would be the right thing to do.
I bet he will. And if you go read Belichick's statement, he went on and said even more about it than that. Now, speaking of that same subject, the PGA has pulled the PGA Championship from Trump's New Jersey club next year. It was scheduled to hold the PGA Championship no longer. That was their decision post last Wednesday. Now,
and the British Open, which is called the Open, but Don calls it the British Open, said that it will not hold the Open at Turnberry, which is owned by the Trump company.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was it supposed to be there?
It was supposedly in line at some point. They said they will not consider it in the future.
Are you referring to
the Open Championship?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So pompous, so arrogant, so useless.
Also, speaking of golf, which I know Don feels very strongly about, and Tiger, I'm finally going to get to watch part one of the Tiger doc tomorrow. I will give you a hearty review on Thursday's program. All right? I know.
Why are you planning to watch it tomorrow? Why not tonight? You have some other plans tonight?
I do. I'm doing an IG live show that I promised to do for a New York hip hop legend, my guy Pretty Lou. I promised I would do his
Pretty
IG
Lou?
Show tonight. Pretty Lou.
Is he pretty? Is he a handsome person?
Yeah, he's a handsome guy. I wouldn't say pretty. That wasn't.
Well, that's his name. That's
why it's
I
a nickname.
Asked.
Again, it's a nickname. You
I
really
get
it's literal.
A nickname, but you know, if you called me, if my nickname was Slim, then I should be Slim.
Do you think Skip to my Lou? If that's your nickname, you have to skip constantly.
Yeah.
I like a lot of guys.
That's true. Aaron Rodgers is online to host Jeopardy. He did his weekly spot with Pat McAfee and said, "One of my idols growing up was Alex Trebek. They're doing some guest hosting spots, and it's going to be released here pretty soon, but I have the opportunity to do one of those." He actually appeared on Celebrity Jeopardy in 2015 and won, and now he's going to get to jump on and fill in for the late, great Alex Trebek.
You know, it would be great hosting that show?
You.
No, Jody. She won. She was on Jeopardy and won. She's the smartest person I know.
She should have tried to get in line. She should have tried to get this opportunity.
I mean, it was open, Michael.
But it's kind of a bad look.
What do you mean?
To look for a job because the guy just passed away.
Oh, you and your respect for jobs, no, even when people are dead?
I got to tell you a story. I'm not going to name specific jobs, but there have been jobs. No, I will say it. When John Facenda, the voice of God, when he passed away, they got so many resumes the next day at NFL Films, and they threw them all in the garbage. They said it was a lack of respect. You couldn't wait.
Okay, I understand that specific thing here, but this job's going to get filled.
Oh, I get
right.
it.
And they're openly auditioning people for it. So I think now that seal's been broken, and now it's respectful to throw your hat in the ring.
I would walk straight from someone's funeral to their place of employment and ask for the job.
Richard Deitch reporting the college football title game between Alabama and Ohio State drew 18.7 million viewers across ESPN's megacast. With streaming numbers still to come, the simulcast is on track to be the least watched college football title game of the CFP or BCS era.
It had very little sizzle.
Well, but it was over at halftime.
I mean, too.
That kills a rating.
Kills a rating.
Get a rating.
Well, get a rating.
So when you saw just basically a very boring, non-compelling Bear Saints game draw 30 million. And I don't know if Monday night's really that attractive. And the other thing, too, is they're presenting the trophy at midnight. They got to shorten these games, man. I don't want to sound like the old man, but college football, dude, with the stopping the clock on first down and reviewing every single play, God, it's annoying how long it is.
On this day. Which one?
No, you'll know when you hear it.
What?
It has to go through sensors, though.
Okay.
What Sorry. Does?
I don't even understand what he's talking about. But
I think I know, and he's got a filthy mind, and now it's going to come out of my mouth, and now it's going to be my drop, and I'm going to seem like I'm that filthy animal when he's the filthy animal. Here's mine. He's the more – you know what's interesting? He's the filthiest of all of us.
I agree.
It's not even really close. And I can't give you any examples, but trust me.
No, that's
he
all
comes
you can
across
say.
As the guy that's like hovering above everybody else as this angel. Forget it.
I sent you guys something you didn't even answer. I thought that was something that you needed to see.
I didn't see anything. I got nothing.
Oh, because you get an Apple phone, would you?
Well, you text me, right?
Yeah, I
Why
did.
Why do I got to get an Apple phone? A
because
Droid
you don't
is a perfectly
get
acceptable
text.
Form of communication.
You don't get group text. I sent something to you and Peter. You saw what I sent, right, Peter?
No, when'd you send it?
Oh, forget it. Go on with ENN.
I think you got to straighten your own house up first before you start killing us.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, yeah. The Twitter link you sent us?
Yeah, yes.
Wow. Well, Don, you didn't see that?
What, from earlier?
Yeah.
I thought it was like just now.
No.
That was 3 hours ago.
Well, you didn't respond.
I started
will you
three.
Get off that already? I mean, give me a break. It's not going to stop me.
I love it. I yearn for it. And it's not going to scare me an ounce. And nor any other person should it. And you can give me all the examples you want. It doesn't matter. The people that are going through it will say it was worth it. And if you paid any attention and tried, you'd understand. But you don't because you don't do it. And I don't get it. Because you love it. If you loved it, you would do it.
I hope somebody hacks into your phone and knows exactly what you're talking about.
On this day in 1969, well, that's an interesting transition. Joe Namath guarantees a win and leads the Jets to just that, a 16-7 win in Super Bowl III. On this day in 2013.
I don't know.
Second down and four. Kaepernick keeps it. Fooled everybody. Colin Kaepernick. What a game. Touchdown.
Cap runs for 181, the most in a playoff game by a quarterback, and two touchdowns. Niners beat the Packers 45-31. And guys, 1 year ago today, the world became a better place.
Take care of y'all chicken.
That's right.
No.
1 year since we learned to take care of our chicken.
And your mentals.
And your mentals.
Really? I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Is that right?
Did you see, you seen the commercial with Marshawn Lynch? He's in the tire.
Yes.
Rolling up to a subway. It's very clearly not him as the tire is rolling.
I don't think it's anybody. You'd throw up.
No, people
did
do that.
Did you see Grown Ups?
Yeah, I've seen Grown Up. I was in it.
Not that one. I think that was the first one.
You were in Grown Ups at Jay's. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Grown Ups and Jace did very well at the box office.
Oh, no doubt.
And listen, I love both movies. I do. Both of those movies are just, hey, let me get a bunch of my buddies together and just be on camera for 2 hours. It really isn't about anything.
Oh, there's a message in there, Don. You're not watching closely.
I think Adam Sandler would admit both of those movies are just like, I'm going to produce a home movie and release it in theaters and see if anybody watches.
And my buddies will make money. I think he makes his buddies a lot of money.
There's no plot.
It's a movie about nothing. It's a movie about growing up and moving
away. Wait, which one? Grown Ups?
Both of them.
Grown Ups
2. Peter, did you see them?
I've never seen the
ice cream scene. The ice cream dispensing scene, that's brilliant cinema.
God, people get angry about me that I think college football is football adjacent. I do. I'm sorry.
Are we getting Carlin on next?
Yeah.
Bring Carlin on.
Yeah, we're going to have Chris Carlin on next. And, Chris spent some time in Philly, so he's got some take on Doug Peterson to the Jets. Mark Canizero, the post, said they should hire Peterson. I don't know if you guys saw that. Anyway, that'll happen in just moments right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.